You are about to embark on a journey that knows no bounds. An epic quest for truth and tranquility. Those who venture forth will be met with untold peril, but will reap the benefits of an unencumbered mind.
Welcome to episode 100 of the Olin Ezra Show, featuring the lovely and insatiable Miss Danny Catastrophe, the technical and reclusive D. Swade, the benevolent and confounding Magnanimous, and your host, the ascendant and trifling Olin Ezra.
What's up, internet, in the beautiful yet broke city of Detroit, Michigan? This is 100 of the Olin Ezra Show, Detroit's underground talk revolution.
Sheebish cripes, D. Swade. Hell of an intro.
You've outdone yourself this time.
Absolutely, wow. Absolutely brilliant. Huge, huge show today. What do we got? We got Sid Wilson, a.k.a. DJ Starscream from Slipknot, but that doesn't matter. We're talking about his brand new side project coming out at Gathering of the Juggalos. Also, we have, and I would call this man benevolent, Sage Francis from Strange Famous Recordings coming on as well. So that's two bam bam hard-hitting national interviews. We also have a very special phone-in with Jay Hudson from 89X and our boy Phil the Intern from Static Noise and many other places, as well as the bowels of 89X. Detroit's only new rock alternative, Phil the Intern.
What's going on?
What up, buddy?
How are the bowels of 89X
treating? The bowels are flowing.
Let's talk about this fantastic gift that you came bearing today.
Yes. I love Carla Spacuzzi.
It's pretty sweet, literally.
She is amazing. She baked us a cake and it has 100. It's 100. It's absolutely brilliant. So I bow down before the ever benevolent Carla Spacuzzi. I think K-Hub just posted the pictures on Facebook so you can see this amazing cake that Carla baked. It's so humbling and good to see.
I liked it. I took a pretty good chunk of it and wrapped it up in a napkin and I got it stashed in the studio.
Steve is already stashing
DJ
the cake.
Groove
Phil,
style.
Thank you, man.
You're very
learned
welcome.
Well from DJ Groove.
I'm always mean to you, Phil, but from the bottom of my heart, thank you. The cake means a lot to me.
Well, I'm just trying to repay the favor because I've been mean the past couple of weeks. So
no, we love it though. It's
you've
been
tried to be mean, hey, and we've laughed at your valiant efforts.
As Michael Jackson would say,
"It's all for love, it's just for the love."
Anyway, make sure to check us out on the internet at theolinezrashow.com. Everything is linkable off of Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter. Should you want to search for us there. So without any further bullshit, Steve, hey, what's that in your hand?
Beer of the week!
Brother Thelonious Monk, baby. Back jazz pianist of the 60s and 70s. Died in 1982, but Thelonious Monk was a jazz musician, very well known for his deconstruction of playing piano and organ. Over 70 recorded songs, hundreds of tunes live, plus where he's not credited on a lot of other musicians' stuff. So the what they would call the North Coast Brewing Company in California has made the salute to Brother Thelonious Monk Belgian-style Abbey Ale. They got a little tagline in the bottom there. It's funny. It says, Carpe Diem Vita Brevis, which means seize the drink, bitch, I guess, basically.
Seize the drink in your hand.
So North Coast, all right, I'll get to its ABV in a minute. I've already gone through just about this first one, but with all the interest in Belgian ales and monasteries that brew them, it's time to remind the world that here in the U.S. we have a monk of our own. Jazz legend Thelonious Monk is the inspiration for North Coast Brewing's Belgian-style Abbey Ale with an ABV of 9.4 alcohol percent. This is a strong and rich, robust ale.
And apparently it's meant to be drank straight, no chaser.
Straight, no chaser. And for a four-pack, that runs about $15.
Whoa.
Wow.
9.4 better be worth it. And let me tell you, from the first sip, damn straight. Good shit. Very good.
So how did Alexander Hamilton, how did it feel, excuse me, to be fisted by Alexander Hamilton and, you know, Abe Lincoln on the side, on the 10 and the 5? Sorry.
This beer is released in association, by the way, with the Thelonious Monk Institute of Jazz. For every case of Brother Thelonious Belgian Style Abbey sold, North Coast Brewing Company makes a contribution to the Institute in support of jazz education, which is indeed a dying art, yet is where most of music comes from, improvisation and the science of jazz. So if you were to go to www.monkinstitute.org, you will find all the information you need and find this stuff. It's sort of rough to find. Like, I know a couple stores around here that carry this. People are aware of it. For a four-pack for $15, maybe it's not something you buy and pound them. You sip them very slowly.
While listening to jazz.
While listening to jazz. And
get some Duke Ellington going and...
May or may not have needle drugs involved. I don't know. I'm just saying. So,
well, if you were to mix a needle-based drug with that, what would happen?
You'd become a jazz artist.
Just like that.
Boom. Just improvising, playing piano, jamming on organ.
We got to feed some of that to Phil and inject him with needle-based drugs and see if that does in fact happen.
I don't want to learn how to play jazz.
Well, none of us really do, Phil, but sometimes a time must come.
This one's got, the box has a Thelonious Monk in sort of a meditative pose, holding a glass of the Abbey Ale and gripping a skull in his left hand. check it out. Brother Thelonious, Belgian Style Abbey Ale. Damn good stuff.
Hey, Dylan, would you ever sit back, relax, and hold a skull in your hand while drinking beer?
Woody.
I am right now.
That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely beautiful. So I only want to touch on something really briefly, and it's absolutely destroying me at the fact that it's still happening, is these goddamn oil spills. And why does it seem like everyone is still completely oblivious to what is happening?
Did you notice, too, not only is it oil spills that they're desperately pushing, natural gas explosions?
Yeah.
So Pittsburgh, two Fridays ago, there was a natural gas mine explosion, killed 6 people, I think. California, today, natural gas explosion, killed, so far they say, 1 person, a few missing.
And this is all for a push to say, whoa, these fossil fuels are deadly. But yep. Hey, hold on. We have a solution to make everything better. But I don't think that is necessarily the case
it's
here.
It's a cleaner, greener, smarter planet.
It's definitely smarter.
Smarter planet. Fucking planet's smarter than you assholes.
Well, it's not like these things have just started happening. You know what I mean? Like, there's a reason now they're all, like...
No doubt. The poor Kalamazoo River is just... blah. And apparently, purportedly, from eyewitness reports in Kalamazoo, the people were like 12 hours before any response was made. They're like, hey, we smell oil. It really stinks like oil.
Did somebody
open an oil drum? Because it absolutely reeks of oil.
And they were telling them, don't worry about it. We're looking into it. Yeah. Like, again, giving that buffer time.
We got it under control.
Two things freaked me out about that, dude. For one, it's going to move to Lake Michigan.
Right.
Okay, which is something we talked about earlier in the summer, by the way. Wait until the Great Lakes have their pollution attack.
Right.
Because they're so great, of course. So that's happening. And two, the company that ran those, like, spill preventers was saying, this is sort of outmoded mechanisms. You guys might want to be aware that something like that could happen. And no one said a goddamn thing except for, by the way, Jennifer Granholm did have that warning ahead of time. They didn't do a fucking thing about it. So
absolutely. Phil, what do you take on all this as a young, bright college student in 2010?
You know, I think you're just doing a lot of bitching.
Well,
I understand that it's important, but you're doing an awful lot of bitching.
Okay.
Yes, it'll get fixed.
How?
I don't know. That's not my job.
Well, it has to be someone's job.
I will put it in the hands of somebody who's trained and qualified to take care of it.
But
instead of whining about it.
Just like we're giving away, and you're giving away personal freedoms and your humanity to people who are authorities.
Just, yes, right? Let someone else take care of it.
I'm cool with it. I'll move to Canada once everything's all fucked up.
Well, I mean, Canada's no better, Phil. Come on, the G20 summit is in Toronto.
That's all right.
They do get them BC buds up there, though.
They do, man, and that makes you forget a little bit as to what's actually happening. And speaking of to what is actually happening, Detroit is honored and privileged to be on the list for the world's most stoned cities.
Thank God we're on finally some sort of a good list. Always at, like, the most obese, like, the most depressed.
Is that a coincidence that we're the most stoned and obese?
I think not.
Better Lay's Better Made and Faygo have the world's greatest monopoly, and they don't even understand why. It's all about product placement. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, apparently, if you go to theexaminer.com, just search for it, and you'll see that Detroit is nicely perched on this list. Apparently, 9.8%, we'll say roughly 10% of the inhabitants of the beautifully yet broke city of Detroit smoke weed on a daily basis. Much higher than the national average.
Where are we on the list?
It doesn't say. I wish it did. It doesn't actually have a link to this purported list.
I think the point is that we're high on the list.
That's but that's all really I had. So, Danny, this week you have a taint stain.
It's the taint stain, the taint stain. It's Danny's dirty taint stain of the week.
You know, I searched far and wide for episode 100. I wanted to go big. And really, the more and more I looked, the more and more I couldn't help but go back to somebody that we've used before, but there's been since been new developments. And this guy, I'm gonna go ahead and say he is the taint stain probably of the decade.
Taint stain is oversaturating any area that it touches and is polluting a radius around it so vast that it's affecting everyone within a...
I would compare this to, like, I just saw a documentary on the world's most obese man, and he's, like, I think he's almost 1,000 pounds, but this would be, like, the taint stain in this guy's pants.
It's the size of what's happening in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yes.
And it's everywhere.
Yes.
All right.
Taint slick.
Who?
Well, let me build up to that. Over the past few years, this man has served time for tax evasion, child pornography. He's beat a woman in public. Most recently, he's attacked a pregnant woman, physically assaulted a pregnant woman.
I can't be the taint stain on the show. I'm sorry. All right, but anyway, continue. I'm sorry.
And he is now, in a twist of irony, suing a former employer for breach of contract, apparently because the... it was a cameraman that used to work closely with him, and now he's writing a scandalous tell-all book about this man's life. This man has made his living exploiting women mostly, but now he's having the tables turned, which is kind of fucking amazing. But it's Joe Francis again.
No relation to Sage Francis. Completely coincidental.
Yes. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Joe Francis. What a Let me.
Yeah. He's just. I mean, If you just Google him and you just look at a picture, I've never had such hatred for somebody just by simply looking at their picture. He's
pretty greasy, mother.
Yeah, he's extremely greasy.
You know, and a buddy of mine got Girls Gone Wild thinking it was going to be like this great, like, college teenagers showing their boobs on beaches.
Yeah.
But like after like volume 2, it just turned into like hardcore porn.
Sure.
So I find it... quite ironic and quite amazing at the same time that now he is being sued, or now he's suing his former employee for doing exactly what he's been doing his entire life. So I really hope the lawsuit doesn't go through, and I really hope that this book comes out and this fucker...
I do not know one person that thinks has anything redeeming to say about Joe Francis at all. Everybody constantly is like, yeah, guy's a dick.
I really hope Chris Masters jumps on his moped, just floors it 90 down a suburban street wherever he's living at right now currently and runs this guy over. Because not only will vengeance have been served, but it will have been served by the righteous hand of Chris Masters and his beard.
It's funny, too, because, like, we talked about the last time he made Douchebag or Taint Stain of the Week, what happened to him when he was kidnapped and sodomized for, like, 3 days on end and...
Yeah,
that?
That's what
right.
She says he wasn't.
Okay. Oh, wow. What a horrible, horrible twist of fate that was for him.
Yeah. So, we salute you, buddy. Congrats. First ever two-time winner of the Olin Ezra Show.
Two-time offender of the Taint Stain of the Week.
Yeah.
Two times has this man let his taint saturate everything. It's all good because there's always disinfectant you can use to clean up the mess. However, not Corex or whatever that crap is called.
Corex, it
bad idea. Yeah, let's just sink it and out of sight, out of mind.
Do more damage than the actual spill itself.
Speaking of out of sight, out of mind, if you're looking for innovative car casts, amazing rock interviews, and more, make sure to check out our boy Les Zaldor, aka the Country Co-Workers Bestiality Having Culprit, at ZALDOR.com. have you had the pleasure and privilege to meet Les Zaldor?
I have, many times.
What do you think about Zaldor, buddy?
Zaldor is the shit.
Yeah, he's dude.
Zaldor is absolutely...
Les, I'm telling you, you need to get on my tagline idea for you. On your business card, you just put, less is more.
Less is more.
Do you think Zaldor ever listens to that intro, like, over and over, and, like, just stands in front of the mirror and just, like...
Flexing?
Rubs his nipples?
I think he does. But he's wearing a Mexican wrestling suit,
like,
too.
Like, Nacho Libre style.
Hey, where's your mask?
My mask is outside.
Right, a word on the street is Jay Hudson wanted you to wear your mask the entire episode.
Yeah.
Is not to be spotted on radio?
No, but he ain't here, so...
Yeah.
Well, he had a... Should we even say his name?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay.
Why not? Jay's a good guy,
what
and
up,
we appreciate
yep.
all the support that Thaddeus has given us over the course of the last couple of years. So thank you, Thaddeus.
Got to throw this out there real quick. Got to hang out with Ween.
Yep. How was that, by the way?
Tony Muggs, you hear me? Me and Ween.
That's right. Mega Weege.
Yeah. Oh, it's fucking phenomenal. Them dudes are cool as fuck. Accepted a demo from me, took pictures, made sure the pictures were good. Like, we take a shot, Dean Ween's like, oh, let me see that. I don't trust this lighting. Like, wow. Very aware of you, sir. So fucking shout out to, I'm just going to say a shout out to my boys, Ween, you know?
Ween.
We kick it.
Anyway, yeah, what do you guys say that we talk to Sage Francis from Strange Famous Recordings?
Hello.
Hi, Sage?
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing, man? You're on the Olin Ezra Show, Detroit's Underground Talk Revolution.
Word it up. I'm happy to be here, man.
Hey, man, I want to say thanks a lot for taking some time out, man, to let us do this interview, man. And I see life. So many people listening to your new album, Life, dude. It's really good to see, man.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I was, I apologize for not being able to do this interview while I was on the tour, and I played in Detroit. But, you know, it was a crazy time. It was nonstop nonsense on that tour.
You stopped at Alvin's in Detroit, right?
Yeah, Alvin's. My first time playing there. And it was
a great little spot.
It went really well. I was kind of concerned because from the outside it looked like it was going to be a little dive, you know.
Yeah.
Because on this tour, we were playing venues that had nice big marquees outside, and then we got to Alvin's, and there was a little chalkboard with my name on it.
That's how we do
it. Sidewalk. And I got concerned, but it was deceptive, because once you got inside, it was actually a really spacious spot, and the sound there was incredible. So I think they had a new sound system and everything in there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the crowd was great. Everything about that place was really... and they had fried Twinkies, if I remember correctly.
Jeez.
Amazing.
Did you eat one, man?
Absolutely. I never saw fried Twinkies before, and I'm with a couple other overweight people. We had my B. Dolan and
Dolan.
The tour manager. His name was... Big Hammy, and we're all big gentlemen, and we all decided we needed to try these things.
Yeah, man. You know, on Life, you definitely notice it for people that have been following, you know, what you've done over your indie career. When I heard this, I mean, damn, did you wind up working with a band on all those songs, or did you sort of, like, select, you know, live instrumentation to work with the right to?
Well, we wanted the whole album originally to be with one band, and it was really difficult to find a band who could put their own career on hold for a year or two so that we could write an album. So what ended up happening was we had various bands and musicians send me their material, and then I would write to it at home, and I started working out demos that way. But when it was time to record the album, We did have one band in the studio with us who recreated a lot of the stuff that had been written by other people, there was also a couple songs where we wrote and performed and recorded in the studio while I was there. But there was a lot of different hands in the cookie jar for this one, and we wanted the live sound. We wanted a new kind of feel for a Sage Francis album, and that was mainly due in part to... Well, the sound was mainly due in part to Brian Deck, who's a rock producer, who agreed to handle the whole project. So, yeah.
So how did you exactly, I guess, kind of seek out the different songwriters that you worked with? Were these people that you just had admired their work for a while and had wanted to collaborate with them, or how did that process work?
Yeah, there was some that I had been fans of and or I knew, and there was also being signed to a punk label who actually, you know, this record came out on Anti, which is a subsidiary label of Epitaph, and they have access to all different types of musicians and bands, and they kind of sent out an APB, like, hey, would any of you guys be interested in taking part in this project where, you know, Sage Francis is going to, it's a Sage Francis album, but he wants to do his songs over different kinds of music, so if you want to submit anything to us, let us, we can do it, and that's kind of how it all went down.
What's cool about that, dude, it sort of brings them into sort of an awareness too. One time in Detroit not long ago, I met Dilly Dilly, the young lady that you worked with that played various instruments for you, and Inhaler, Tom Inhaler. That kind of exposed me to them too, you know?
Oh yeah, I've been working with all different kinds of music. Yeah, ever since my first album, which you probably don't even know about, but back in 97 when I recorded my first album, it was with a group called AOI, it was Artificial Intelligence, which De La Soul ended up coming out with records called that, but
yep,
that was the name of my band before that, and that was all musicians and mainly people who never really listened to hip hop. And what I've found through the course of my career is every time I work with musicians, it's usually people who never worked with hip hop before, and the challenge that it gives them and it gives me, I think, sometimes can really end up being something magical and special, something that isn't preconceived and doesn't sound like, you know, we're trying to emulate anything that has been done before. We're just trying to, like, try something new out. And it's always risky to do that. And sometimes it doesn't work, but when it does work and it becomes its own thing, that's probably one of the more rewarding parts of what I do.
You've definitely touched on, like, poetic aspects of writing in past lyrics. Mention controversial poets like Henry Bukowski, Ginsberg. Do you interpret what you do more to be rooted in, like, poetry or spoken word as opposed to, like, rapping, per se?
I guess so. I always thought of myself as a rapper, but the strength in what I do is definitely in the writing, in the lyric department, and that's where I spend most of my time obsessing over. When I'm writing songs, I don't know, I've always been a writer, so that's where all my strength is.
Nice.
I don't know, I love Bukowski, I haven't read much Ginsberg, but what I like about writers is their ability to communicate the human condition and share that with other people who, I don't know, they kind of cut to the chase and make me feel like I'm not a total weirdo for thinking the things that I think, because it's not the kind of stuff that you talk about in normal conversation, you know what I'm saying? It's like you save that for art.
Well, going down that route, man, when you wrote, and one of the few songs to give me goosebumps the way it has is a song that you wrote called The Best of Times. What was the inspiration personally you found when you wrote that song?
There's a couple things. That song I had to write, it was basically a last-minute kind of thing. The music came in. We had two more days left in the studio I was recording at, and this music composer named Jan Kiersen, who he's one of my favorite composers, and he did the soundtrack to a movie called Amelie, and he's done a lot of other stuff. But he sent music, and it's the music that you now hear on The Best of Times, and I had one night to write that song, and I'm not really the kind of person who bangs out a song in one night, but I kind of had to pull out all the stops for this song, and it was the music, I think, that just put me in the mood to make me talk about the things that I talk about in that song, and I was really nervous about that song. I was nervous that I wouldn't have enough time to do the music justice, and I'm thankful that the path that they're traveling down while writing that song, it brought out a lot of stuff that I think about quite often, actually, but I never thought it would find its place in a song, because it's like, you know, it's all the little things in life that we blow out of proportion when they're happening, but then when you look back on them, they seem silly and not important, but to be honest, it's like every time these little things happen to us, especially as kids, it really seemed like it was the end of the world. So I kind of like strung all those things together, and I try to relate it to how I feel as an adult and the other things that we have to deal with as adults that are probably the same kind of, they're probably not a big deal. We just kind of blow everything out of proportion and get worked up about it.
Still to this day, I totally get misplacing a love letter to somebody that you thought it was going right. to and it winds up out there.
Yeah. Like, oh no, it's
happened
over.
To me. Yeah.
No. What happened? It's absolutely
it still
brilliant.
Happens. Like, my best line in a bar is I just write a little note on a napkin that says, "Do you like me? You know, check this box. Yes or no."
Yeah. I was never, you know, I didn't really have the brass to do that. I didn't have, I couldn't deal with the rejection, so I never
you
gave
want
anyone
that,
the opportunity
you,
to you check a box.
You don't want that no check?
That's why you throw in a maybe box.
Maybe.
There's no boxes. Here's what's going to happen.
This is how this is going to go down.
Hey, Sage, man, we absolutely love you. We got to get the show moving on. But
Francois!
Thank you so much for giving us a time. Real quick, you got anything, sir, that you would like to plug before we take you out?
I've just been posting a lot of stuff on sagefrancis.net, and we have new albums coming out on Strange Famous Records. So, you know, look out for that stuff. And hopefully, even though I'm not touring anymore, I still hope to swing through Detroit once or twice before I die.
Shit, come kick it with us, dude. Yeah. We'll hook you up.
Definitely love to party, bro. But, hey, thanks again for making the time. Sage Francis. Real quick, we're going to get Sid Wilson, a.k.a. DJ Starscream, on the phone. This guy is most notorious for his work in the band Slipknot, but he's actually coming on the show today to talk a little bit about the Gathering of the Juggalos and his solo project entitled Just Sid, and you can check him out at myspace.com/SidTheThird. Dylan, get Sid on the phone.
Hello?
Hey, Sid, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, it's going good, bro. You're on the Olin Ezra Show, Detroit's Underground Talk Revolution.
All right, what's up? You're talking to Sid, a.k.a. DJ Starscream, number zero from the world famous Slipknot.
Indeed, sir. We have never seen your face. Some of us have.
Hey, man, you said that you're working on a new side project?
Yeah, I'm just going out as a solo artist. So it's just called Sid. You can just look for Sid.
And that's at myspace.com/SidTheThird, the number 3RD.
That's correct.
What kind of influences are you working with as far as this project goes?
It's kind of a mashup of, like, all different styles and sounds, you know? I mean, I'm into so many different kinds of music, so there's some, like, rock in there, there's some pop in there, there's some hip-hop in there, there's some down-tempo, there's some Tom Waitsy-type stuff, you know? There's a little bit of something for everybody, I think. The heavier stuff I've been doing, I've been calling it Miami Vice sound crack.
So much of that sounds like a great party. I don't even know where to start. But
Miami Vice sound crack.
What is your...
I want to be wherever that's happening. That's
Who doesn't? I'll tell you where that could happen is potentially the Gathering of the Juggalos. How'd you wind up getting on that Gathering of the Juggalos, Bill?
My booking agent does some gigs with some of their people before in the past, so... And then she hooked it up, you know? And I've done stuff with artists and theirs in the past, as well as with the Suburban Noise Camp as well. So, you know, I know all those guys pretty well, and they just like to have a good time and want to see, you know, everybody that knows how to have a good time come there, I think.
Oh, word, dude. Yeah, you will be well-received there, I assure you that.
That's a cool event because it's not just their record label or something either, you know. They've got all their great top acts, and then they also have... You know, they got Slick Rick coming out there.
Fucking Slick Rick.
Method Man and Red Man.
Method Man and Red Man, man. Do Blackout, probably.
Yeah. Sid, the new project that you're working with, are you backed by a band?
Yeah, that's correct. I put a band together. It consists of my guitar player, Nine Balls, my drummer, Dino. Yeah, right? You want back up for a second?
Yeah, please.
One, count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, Nine Balls?
If you think Eight Balls isn't enough, then... Well, real quick. I got Nine Balls on the guitar, I got Dino on the drums, I got A-Rock Impossible on the turntables, and then I got Jamaz, who's doing my backups and hyping, man. So he's hyping up everybody, too.
Word. You got a hype man, huh?
Yeah, so I got four people backing me up at the show, too.
Dope.
So we're pushing some big sound.
I think we're basically sort of skipping over having to attack you with like DJ related questions, but I mean, what like turntablist that kind of got you into doing any influences in particular?
I don't know. I mean, I've always been doing music since I was really young. You know, I messed around with like keyboards and pianos, and my grandfather was a harmonica player, so I messed around with his harmonicas. After he was passed away, I got all those harmonicas. I played bass guitar when I was young, and I played the bass guitar was kind of like my first real like full time instrument, I guess.
So turntables like just another instrument to you, huh?
Yeah, I mean, because I fiddled around with, you know, drums, saxophone. I fiddled around with all kinds of stuff until I like found, you know, bass guitar. I liked a lot because I really found a groove with that. And then
saxophone.
And then
huh?
I picked up turn. Yeah, for a second, you know, back in like elementary school, you know, I was like searching and I knew I wanted to do music, but I had to find my, you know, my niche.
That's cool, man. Yeah, hey, Olin Ezra here. He plays the bonophone. But that's neither here or there.
How dare you, Steve?
And he also rips some crazy triangle solos.
Lots of practice.
Right. Well, hey, Sid, we're not going to take up any more of your time, man. We'll see you September 4th when you roll through Detroit. And, hey, good luck on the gathering of the Juggalos, man. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah, make sure you all check out the single Nervous Central coming off the new self-titled album, Sid. So.
Dope, Sid. Thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Sid.
Awesome. Thanks.
Man, there's a lot of strains going around. It's hard to pinpoint one, and this week I couldn't, but this is this week's Strain of the Week.
Strain of the Week.
The Pontiac Silverdome is going to be host to the first ever international cannabis convention.
Which is huge, by the way.
Huge. Yeah. It's international. Yeah. Some of the best medicinal and recreational smokers are going to be coming through the Silverdome, and that's great because Pontiac's hit, man, their jobless rate, it's like mini D now.
Unfortunately, the police, including state boys around there, have already issued warnings that they will be arresting people for marijuana.
Wait, there's police in Pontiac?
Yeah, exactly.
This is new to me.
No, for
that's
this...
Shocking.
Yeah, for this, of course
there
is. Of
course, they come out of the woodwork.
Can you imagine how many tickets could potentially be issued that will bring revenue to Pontiac from that?
Absolutely. So just Google that, check that out. There's a ton of shit to check out online about. It's just, I can't wait to go. And you know what? I am going to smoke a fatty in the parking lot. So Danny, what's up with these crazy Asians you were ranting about?
Well, I was in my search for material.
Oh, so crazy!
That was your intro music.
I like it. Steve actually came up with the term Crasians.
Crasians? Phil, would you ever bang a Crasian?
Probably not. That'd be a little bit insane. I'd be a little scared.
Well, I've got three quick stories to touch on. All three of these stories that I found, I wasn't searching for Asian-related material, but I just kept finding these stories, and they all were involving Asians doing very, very fucked up things. So the first story, a man named, I'm totally going to butcher this, but Huzru Keji, he was acting very, very nervous as he boarded a plane on June 29th. His heart was racing, his hands were shaking, and he relayed conflicting stories about his whereabouts. Officials quickly realized that he had swallowed narcotics. Mm. They x-rayed him and took him to the bathroom where some poor chap had to stay with him for 5.5 hours until he shit out 85 coke-filled condoms. Now, here's the fucked up thing, because
that's so taking a chance.
Dude,
one of those busts, you're fucked.
Busts, you're dead. He was going to be paid 5,000 euros, which equates to $6,500 US. So basically broken down, that's $76.47 per condom.
He had an 85% chance he was going to die.
Yeah. Are you going to swallow a condom filled with coke for $7,700?
Wow.
Not just that, he had to swallow 85 of them?
85. And then he had to subsequently shit all of them out.
That's how old dirty bastard died. He had drugs in his stomach.
How can you fit 85 condoms of coke inside of you?
Very carefully. Yeah, so,
Jesus. Holy shit.
Second story, a Japanese company just released the Count Machine on a hole, which is a masturbation device that testers describe as a quote-unquote fleshlight attached to a counting mechanism. Basically, it's like a looks like kind of like a pocket pussy kind of thing. So basically, it's a device that you use while you masturbate. It counts the number of times that you penetrate this thing with your penis. They are hyping it as not only a provider of pleasure but also a weight loss device as well.
That's just what I need to be reminded constantly, that five pumps and I was done.
Well,
you amateur.
Hiroshi Choco Epic Ball. Fail. He calls himself Choco Ball, which is a terrifying name for a porn star. But he recently set the world record of 426 strokes in a minute. And the last story, last night in Hong Kong, the police received a very disturbing call from a man named Zing. He thought it might be fun to hump one of these steel benches in the park. The bench had, you know, those benches with like the little holes.
Mm.
Well, he decided to stick his pee-pee in there and dry hump the shit out of it. And then,
I mean, if it's able to be stuck, we're going to consider
it. I know, that's totally living up to the Asian stereotype, right?
Wow.
So anyway, he got it stuck, couldn't get it out. Police had to come. It was so swollen and engorged in this little hole that they couldn't get it out. So they had to cut the entire bench out of the ground and take him with him attached to the hospital.
To his
them crazy, crazy Asians.
Anyway, I guess
that's all crazy.
That was
the end.
I guess we're trying to get a hold of Jay Hud here. He was supposed to be the special guest on the show. However, a very serious family party came up that he had to attend. Because Jay likes to be surrounded by his family, so it's beautiful.
Yo.
Jay.
Thaddeus.
What's up there, Thaddeus?
Oh, Thaddeus, it's been so long, my friend.
Too damn long.
Thaddeus, I'm getting an echo. Are you in the porn shower right now?
I'm actually in the ride, but hold on. That's the hands free, motherfucker. The hands free. All right, is that better?
I was just joking. Beautiful. I just wanted to say porn shower.
Whoa. Amber Cat has
joined. What the hell do you got?
Whoa, hold on. Amber
Why is
Cat,
Amber in here?
She has...
That seems to be a popular word nowadays.
Cat?
What is that?
She
has some sort of brown thing with a frown on it, Jay. It's kind of freaking me out, buddy. What is that?
I think Phil, the intern, just discovered the word porn because he overuses it.
get out of here, Phil. Fuck. Make room for Amber.
Yeah, make room for another bitch.
go take your frownie and be happy.
Come on,
Jay,
I brought you presents. I brought you company.
You did. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm going to be honest. It sounds like one hot mess over there.
It always is.
We're not quite sure what just happened is the issue.
I think there's too many clothes on in here, though. No. It's like
sweet. That's what I've been saying. Let's lose them.
Wow.
It is hot in here.
Jay,
well,
man.
You know what? Olin, hold on a second. Olin, first of all, before I forget to do this, because I forget a lot of stuff.
Me too.
Congratulations on episode 100.
Oh, thanks, bro. What a lot of work it was.
Congratulations, man. That's a big deal. You know, doing the Homeboy Show and, you know, supporting the local scene in Detroit for many years, I got a lot of respect for someone like you and the whole show over there that do it week in and week out, man. That's pretty honorable, man. That's big props to you.
Thanks, Jay. That's...
We appreciate that.
Aw, that's awesome, dude. And you know what? From the local scene really, really supports and respects you too, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Because with that Homeboy Show right now, it's like one of the only outlets on the FM dial where you can actually hear Detroit rock.
Yeah, it really is.
J-Hud, what you can't see right now is Olin as one solo trickling tear. You made him cry. Ooh. You made him cry a little bit.
He's getting weepy.
Coming up, though, Amber Cat from Conniption Fit here in about 5 minutes are heading down to Fabulous U, the pole dance instructional center, and they're going to have the lovely ladies there show them the art of pole dancing.
And plus, like, Danny's got an image to maintain, and whereas Amber, that is her image.
I like that. I
like Amber's image, too.
Amber's more of the sexy girl. I'm more of, like, the spit on your grandma and skull fuck your dad kind of girl.
You're one sexy bitch. Don't even
front. That is some dirty stuff.
By the way, Jay, thanks for, I don't know if you told him or what, but Phil brought this mask that he you have purportedly forced him to wear on your show.
Okay. Oh, yes. Are you talking about the, I know exactly which one you're talking about. We took a picture with it, put it on Facebook.
Yes.
what mask was it?
Five Finger Death Punch?
Oh, yeah, the cardboard cutout.
Yes. What made you decide to put Phil in that?
What makes me decide to do anything with film, man?
Yeah, exactly.
Why do you climb Mount Everest? Because it's there.
Yeah, and now Phil is stroking the frowny backstage.
My precious frowny.
It is, he loves it, like his baby.
I think Nate is like the Olin Ezra Show's Phil.
I was telling Olin earlier today that, you know, we put Phil through a lot, but it's all for a reason, because one day he's going to be writing all the checks that come to us.
Yep. And Ben be doing the same thing to his minions.
Yeah.
We're going to be mad, Jay, because you know damn well in the end Phil will nickel and dime us to death.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
But hey, man, we got to move the show on. We got to get these ladies down to Fabulous You. So, hey, thanks.
Get them on a pole.
Yes, bring on the poles.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for being a part of episode 100, man. Absolutely. Really appreciate it from the bottom of my heart and everyone else in the booth, man. We love you, brother.
Thanks, Jay.
Congratulations, man. Congratulations.
Hey, dude, thank you. Thank you for the Homeboy show, too, man. We really appreciate it.
Always.
All right, Jay, be easy, bro. We'll talk to you later, buddy.
Sounds good.
All right, bye.
See ya.
Jay Hudson from 89. What a good dude.
I heart him.
Everyone should heart Jay Hudson. All right, and here we are down at Fabulous U. This is Pole Dance 101 for you guys that are wondering what Fabulous U is. We have Amber Cap from the band Conniption Fit and K-Hub from Wicked Skull Promotions learning how to pole dance with Keisha. Phil, what do you think about this?
I am actually loving this. I've been here for about 10 minutes, and I seriously have not stopped looking at the stage.
That's really creepy, and I can attest for the fact that Phil's been sitting in the corner with an extremely creepy, and he's also been covering his lap with like a sweatshirt. I don't know what that's all about.
I have my leg folded there. Over. I'm sorry.
We're here with Sakina, who has been told to me is the voice of Fabulous You. So how you doing, Sakina?
Yes, I'm doing fabulous. How are you?
I'm great. We got Nader here. We got Karen and Amber, and this is good times. So now, when did you guys open Fabulous You?
Let's see, we had our open house about July of this year. And of course, whenever we have our doors open, it was funny that you said you were having a fabulous time here within the last 10 minutes. Whenever we open up our doors, guys walk by and they're like 10, 12 foot poles. You know, like, oh my God, right? They just picture this wonderful thing. So we've been pretty lucky to be here at the Russell. So having a good time.
I understand you guys had a mishap in the other building.
We did. We got everything painted, and it was fabulous. It was blue and black shiny floors, and of course we had a rain out. So,
what is Keisha showing them now?
Keisha's actually showing them how to do, looks like she's showing them how to do the beginning pieces of the fireman. The fireman's always kind of the basic swing that everybody does, and it's kind of a 1-2-3 swing. And it's the one that we most feel comfortable with, because of course you wrap both your legs around the pole, and you swing.
This is absolutely awesome. Now, you guys got here in January, so for 6 weeks, you're offering $130. But if you mention the OlinEzraShow.com, you get it for $110.
Yes.
So, and what does a six-week course entail?
Wow. First, our pole level one, for example, the 6 weeks, you get 13 moves. So that's more than any other pole studio. You get 13 moves. That's moves and swings. Generally, most studios offer that in the first pole 1, 2, and 3. So we offer that in our pole one. And then, of course, you can take a 6 week pole fitness that gets your arms ready and your belly ready, everything you need to ready to swing. So if you think you aren't ready for pole one, do the pole fitness first and get all of that ready.
Now, I know this is really popular for like bachelorette parties and stuff like that. Is that where the majority of your business is coming from, or is it kind of all over?
You'd be surprised. We originally thought that it would be bachelorette parties. We do bachelorette parties. We do birthday parties. We do girls' night out. We do come and hang out with me. I mean, our clientele is literally from 20 to 65.
Are men allowed?
Men are allowed only if they have their own party. So, no, we don't have men and women parties
right.
together, but we have had requests for just men-only parties, and we honor that, too.
Phil, the intern, he didn't want to ask you. He was afraid, but he
Phil,
really wanted to do, a one-on-one session.
Phil, I will do a one-on-one with you.
Would you really?
Yes. Like, I'll get you to the top so you can sign your name.
I would be absolutely
Phil
honored. Just the thing is, like, I'm wearing flip-flops, so I think it might be hazardous for me.
Nope, you take your shoes off. There's no shoes or heels, so you get to wear one of the two. No shoes or heels.
Do you have any heels that would fit me?
We do have heels that would fit me.
I don't know,
do you guys
I
also have fishnets
feet.
For them too, or is that optional?
I want to go
know,
all out on this.
Fishnets are optional, but you know, you need really short shorts so I can cut those jeans up. You know, really.
I actually like these jeans,
skin.
So.
You can take them off. You wear boxers or briefs.
I got boxers on.
Okay. Oh, see that.
I got some good boxers on.
That will work. socks would work. Leggings would work.
I can do leggings.
Yes. More skin, the better.
I can do that.
I love it, Phil. Everywhere you go, people just give you a hard time, buddy.
I know. You know, I'm cool with it, though.
So now, Sakina, tell me a little bit about Stripper 101.
Stripper 101 is my favorite class. It's a combination of the workout, because this is a full-body workout, with the fun. So we get to come in each week. It's only a four-week class. It's not as strenuous as learning the 13 moves. You get to learn a lot of stuff. We do almost a different routine every time you come in. You get to wear your cute little outfit if you want to. Get to run a fun little program or fun little routine for your man or for your mate or just for you, and we have fun with it.
Now, so www.fabudance, fab, the letter U, dance.com. Is there anything that people should look for on the site?
Of course, go to our classes. You know, that shows our schedule. You can register there, or of course, you can call Summer at our number and she can answer any questions for you. There's also our FAQ page where you can answer any questions if you feel comfortable calling right away. Our class policy is there. Everything you need is there. And if there's anything there that you don't need, please feel free to email us at fabudancestudio@gmail.com. And of course, you can give us our number or call.
Sakina, what's the phone number to Fabulous U?
313-406-8438.
Absolutely, absolutely beautiful. So, hey, Sakina, thank you. I want to thank Angela and Summer over there. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Good. Hey, no, thank you guys so much. Right. Always fabulous. So then, no, thank you so much for getting a chance to come in here and see what you guys are doing. You know, Amber Cat from the band Conniption Fit.
Fabulous.
Oh,
a natural.
Yeah, both her and K-Hub, they've been excited all week, and they were freaking out a little bit beforehand, but
they were right into it.
Yeah.
You always get comfortable once you get on the pole. I always tell women, as soon as they touch it, they're first uncomfortable standing here, and as soon as they touch it, just a natural peace comes over them, and they're rolling, and they're touching, and they're swinging, and you never know the difference.
It's good. It's good to see that there's the community here in the Russell is great. So thanks for being a part of this here and everything, and letting us in here because we heard it's really hard for guys to get in here. So I was telling Summer and Angela before. It's like, yeah, I think we need to send Karen to make the contact because if like, hey, do you girls want to be on a radio show?
Because yeah, Angela wouldn't have let you through.
We'll make you a star. No, anyway, Sakina, thank you so much. Thank you. And so, Fabulous U, check them out. They're offering pole dance classes, for any age group, any type of person. Just come out and check it out. It's a good time. Thanks again, Sakina.
Thank you. Fabulous time being here. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. We do have some special comments for episode 100, and I don't even want to waste any time. Let's just get into Arlie Vest Jr.
Yeah, it's Arlie Vest Jr. here. It's fucking Sunday, dude, and I felt like calling and let you guys know I'm getting fucking drunk.
On the fucking highway!
I started drinking at fucking 9 o'clock this morning. I woke up with a fucking beer spilled on my lap, dude. It looked like I fucking pissed myself. And you know what? I was like, fuck it. I was fucking drinking another one. Fuck it. I smell like piss. I'll fucking drown the smell out with fucking beer. Alright, you guys have a nice fucking day and happy fucking 100th episode. Woo! See you later.
I had the fuck count, what, 16?
37 and a half.
Yeah.
My fuckometer counted about 16.
Fuck.
Now, they were purportedly at your show last night.
They were.
How was that, Amber Cat?
Oh, the show was awesome. Mo Doggies was packed, and all the bands just killed it. And I had a great time. Really did. I would have to say it's one of probably our top 2-3 best shows ever.
Nice.
Yeah.
Which says a lot, because it was played.
It was kind of like our CD release in a way. I mean, same energy vibe filled the place. It was, and that's just a comfy bar.
Were you passed out behind a toilet?
No, okay. You know, we didn't release that information before. No, I actually kept on the level. I paced myself.
Good. That's good. Good to hear. So, yeah, no, I'm glad that went well for you. And then Andrew May, I guess he was there too.
Yeah, actually, and then we went to an after party. We were driving out in BFE, I swear, and we had to keep stopping and call. I'm like, where are we going? Are you sure? This dirt road, that dirt road? We get there, and they're just, you know, they're bombed. I mean, we're trying to sober up, too. And, you know, we didn't end up staying. I mean, if we had to, we would have. But it was fun. It was a nice wrap-up for the evening, so.
Well, Andrew called.
Oh, he did.
He called. And
he's a good man.
He had this wonderful nugget of grace to explode upon you.
Oh, no.
What's up, Owen Ezra Show? Andrew made 6 months gone here.
Gangabang!
Yes, there's some gangabang going on in this car. We are 23 southbound. leaving fucking Fenton right now. We just crashed out our homeboy's house after fucking K-Fit last night. It was awesome. I'm drinking a beer on the fucking highway. I just want to say what up, though. Good luck on episode 100. I don't know if this comment's going to make it for it, but we know what's going on. We know it's a big deal, and we love you guys. Say we love you guys.
Love you guys.
That 6 months gone saying we love you.
Anal beads.
And anal beads and your fucking
maple syrup,
maple syrup beard, cane fungus, and shrooms, too. That one's for Meg. Peace.
Cane shrooms.
We love you too.
We do a lot.
I'm a little scared that taint shrooms may be catching on. Nobody wants to trip balls like that.
That's a special
talk about tripping balls.
Every time I hear that phrase, I get the most disgusting image in my mind, and I can't get rid of it.
Man, you guys are making us so humble with all these thank yous and cakes and everything else. I don't even know what to say. Thank you guys so much. Anyway. And then Ryan B., we're going to take the comments this week out to good friend of the show, Ryan B. from the Potty Mouth Sissies.
Hey, it's time for some of that hip-hop trivalicious. This is Ryan B. Here we go. This old-school rap group had a group member lose an eye in a shooting with his girlfriend. And this incident actually helped boost sales of their third album, We Can't Be Stopped. For 10 points, name this rap group. Good luck. What? Sunnyside? No, I want mine scrambled.
Well, let me tell you this, Ryan B. I prefer mine Sunnyside Up. And if you haven't been paying attention to Facebook, me and Ryan B. have given birth to our illegitimate love child. Just stay face, keep posted to Facebook for updates.
So you would say you prefer your eggs fertilized?
All right. Wow. No. Steve, you know the answer to this?
Absolutely.
Okay,
he's
good. So,
I mean, we can't say it, though, right?
No, okay. No. You guys have to call, and on episode 101.
I love it. This is the best fucking segment ever, dude.
Episode 101, the brilliant, brilliant answer to Ryan B's brilliant, brilliant hip-hop trivia.
I like when his girlfriend chimes in, though.
Mm-hmm. Dooley? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dooley.
Oh, we love Dooley.
I like Dooley in there.
I really wish that Ryan B and Dooley could have been here to eat some of the cake. I don't worry though, buddy. I will save you a piece of cake, and if it's like that, anything like that Colt 45 bottle, when I give it to you, you'll know what I'm talking about.
We'll save you the Zra on the Olin Ezra cake.
Well, we only got a couple more segments left here. I mean, thanks to everyone. Thanks to Sid Wilson. Thanks to Sage Francis. Thanks to the wonderfully, wonderfully talented and beautiful ladies down at Fabulous U for giving K-Hub and Amber Cat some pole dance tips. Make sure to check them out. Thanks to Phil the Intern. Thanks to Dee Swade, who has begrudgingly done one of the best jobs underground radio has ever seen.
Sure.
Thanks to K-Hub. Thanks to all of the listeners. Every single one of you have made this a beautiful, beautiful thing. But we have something very important that you need to hear before we take the show out one last time in this podcast format. And Steve, what do you got, buddy?
Well, this one is entitled Executive Producifer, but I sort of have to preface this by saying that they do not want to hear this. We may be in trouble after this particular amount of information. So I'm just going to start with giving this shout out to this one goes out to the big boss. The man in charge, El Capo, El Presidente, the executive producer, Satan.
Suit dummies.
Satan.
The big cheese.
Yeah, Luciferian principles are a religion like any other, okay? Practiced by royalty, politicians, the elite alike. It's emulated and invoked in big business and pop culture. When Freemasons, like the study of Freemasonry, when ascending Freemasons reach a certain level, they're told that Lucifer is actually trying to aid humanity in its own freedom. It's a part of going through those processes to then learn, surprise, Luciferian principle.
Maybe a dumb question, but is there a difference between Satanism and Luciferianism, right?
Yeah, essentially, that's where the line gets blurred because of the occultist aspect. So, like, Luciferianism is a principle. Lucifer actually means light bearer, bringer of light. And Satanism is a little more of a practice, occult, you know, symbology. Mm-hmm. Often they don't, the two never mix because some Satanists are just fucking retards.
Here, real quick, I just wanted to touch. Somebody named Bob Dancer had us out at a house party, and for all the negative that's happening, there's people like Bob and Linda, and they had Black Irish, their band, Shockwave, all these other bands. But no, there's good people to counterbalance what's happening, and I see it manifesting here in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, again, the symbols are obvious. I mean, especially if you kind of know what to look for, and everywhere, even hidden in plain sight. Family legacy amongst aspiring wealthy elite, that's the whole point. Even Granholm's going that direction. She was an aspiring actress. Now, you could do that, or you could become a real actress and build legacy for your family.
Yes.
Yeah, the Bushes, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds.
The Cyruses.
Yes, exactly, exactly. The Rothschilds and Rockefellers are shareholders of the Federal Reserve, and it's a closed list. You cannot, it's a very exclusive club.
And if you don't for any minute think that that is not a private corporation, you need to pull your head out of your ass see what the frig the Federal Reserve is.
Again, very much. Look at the fucking, the symbols on money. Very much based in the occult and Luciferian ideologies, or like the Prometheus myth. So, like, in their businesses, in their own businesses and markets. Example, I mean, Rockefeller Center, downtown New York, that's where they film Saturday Night Live, 30 Rock. That building is so laden with symbols in plain fucking sight. How can the site of the most famous skating rink in the world be considered sinister? You know, the one that's in all the romantic comedies, the best first date activity ever.
Yes.
And, like, what about the huge Christmas tree that we all see in the holiday movies? That's not sinister. That's magical.
That's not pagan.
Consume.
If that's what you're thinking, sure. If that's what you're thinking right now, you should probably press pause on the You've Got Mail Deluxe Edition DVD and read on.
You've got mail.
If you're not surprised that a center called Rockefeller contains tons of occult and Luciferian symbolism, as well as references to a new world order, then you should also read on, because I may reinforce what you've already thinking, whether you like it or not. And it's that complex, that building of 19 commercial buildings situated between 5th and 7th Avenue in New York City. It's famous for its Art Deco style. People around the world come to see 30 Rock in that plaza. It's one of the last building projects in the United States to have incorporated a program of public art. The submissions chosen all fit a particular philosophy. And some artists have been asked to change their work so it fits the theme of Rockefeller Center, which is Luciferianism. Ancient mystery religion promises that the opportunity to erase the curse of mortality by direct encounter with a deity, or in many instances by actually undergoing an apotheosis, or the transfiguration of human into the divine. So when you look downtown at 30 Rock, in that center, blatantly is the statue of Prometheus. Right there. Much like the spirit of Detroit, hands up, holding the fire, Paul Manship was a man who sculpted that feature. It's in the sunken plaza in Rockefeller Center, and it's Prometheus holding the fire, stolen from Zeus, gliding towards humanity. He lies in a ring, in which is, by the way, outlined by signs of the zodiac. So Prometheus, teacher, and it says this right in the statue, Prometheus, teacher of every art, brought the fire that hath proved to mortals a means to mighty ends. Mighty ends means reaching enlightenment and achieving godliness. That's what these people are going for. That's the direction of Rockefeller. It's the direction of, I mean, the Bush family has attained quite a legacy, and back to the legacy thing. So to sort of start wrapping up, militarized police forces have more and more intensely been fashioned to protect their ideology. Like, they're no longer here as peace officers. They're more like tax collectors nowadays.
Yep.
Protecting the line between us and them. That's why, I mean, this is a very dangerous show to that philosophy. This is what we do is dangerous and a direct threat. It's a direct threat to the plan to manipulate, mold, and ultimately remove the unwashed masses. Soft kill. I told you to look into that. Did anybody do that? Well, I mean, I the only thing that comes to my mind in defiance is, you know, fuck you and fuck your fucking egos, whatever, protect that dividing line. It's not going to save you. You cops think you're on board. You think you're down with that ideology and they're going to look out for you. They're going to wipe you out just as much as they're going to wipe us out. Man, I mean, we're some grimy motherfuckers, bitch, but Like it's, a raw precious.
What is that?
We're from Homeland Security. You need to shut this show down right now.
This is a fucking joke?
Yeah, whoa. Come on, buddy.
Shut this shit down right now.
Who did you get to come through here?
What oh my god, don't do that! Oh my god, what the fuck? Oh,
are you calm touching
down.
My ass?
You need to relax. Calm down, ma'am.
Who the hell are you?
Touching my fucking
I'll touch whatever I want, sir.
You have not showed me any credential whatsoever.
I'm gonna take you outside and show you my credentials.
Out of my boob!
You're detaining me?
A fucking hand out of my mouth.
Oh my god, it ricocheted off my fucking
no goddamn blood orgy. Get your fucking hands off my ass. You
I
like
was
that,
saving
don't you?
Those taint shrooms fucking, for later!
You love that, don't you? You like it. Touch it!
Oh my god! It's Ryan B's blow-up doll! And it's filled with methane gas!
Well, I really don't know how to describe what just happened. Well, first of all, those assholes ate all my fucking cake, so I'm pretty pissed off. But, I guess the entire cast is being detained by Homeland Security for questioning. I was kind of just hiding out in back, so they didn't catch me. So, I'm gonna be closing the show today. You can stay tuned for details. Gonna be taking you out with The Best of Times by Sage Francis. I am Phil the Intern, and you may or may no longer be listening to The Olin Ezra Show, Detroit's Underground Talk Revolution.
Been a long and lonely trip, but I'm glad I took it, cause it was well worth it. Got to read a couple books and do some research before I reached my verdict. Never thought that I was perfect, always thought that I had a purpose. I used to wonder if I'd live to see my first kiss. The most difficult thing that I did was recite my own words at a service, realizing the person I was addressing probably wasn't looking down from heaven. Cooking up something in a hell's kitchen, trying to listen in or eavesdrop from some other dimension. It was self-serving, just like this is. Conveniently religious, on Easter Sunday and on Christmas. The television went from being a babysitter to a mistress. Technology made it easy for us to stay in touch while keeping a distance. So we just stayed distant and never touched. Now all we do is text too much. I don't remember much from my youth, maybe my memory is repressed. I just spent too much time wondering if I'd live to have sex. I fell in love for the first time in fourth grade, but I didn't have the courage to talk to her. In eighth grade, I wrote the note and slipped it in somebody else's locker. Considered killing myself because of that. It was a big deal. It was a blown cover. It was over for me. My goose was cooked. Stick a fork in me. The jig is up. Blew my chances. The rest is history. Our future was torn asunder. It became abundantly clear I was only brought here to suffer. At least I didn't include my name. Thankfully, I wrote the whole note in code, and it had 10 layers of scotch tape safety seal, making it impossible to open. Plus, it was set to self-destruct. Whoever read it probably died laughing. I wonder if they lived long enough to realize what happened. A year later, I came to understand that wasn't love that I was feeling for her. I had someone else to obsess over. I was older, and I was very mature. I forged my time signature while practicing my parents' autograph, cause I was failing math. Disconnected the phone when I thought the teacher would call my home. Checked the mailbox twice a day. At the end of a long dirt road, steamed open a couple envelopes like I was in private detective mode. If you snoop around long enough for something in particular, you're guaranteed to find it. For better or worse, that's how I learned it's best to just keep some things private. It was the best of times. It was the end of times. Only
child with a pen and pad, writing a list of things I could never have. Walls in my house were paper thin, every squabble seemed to get deafening. My memory served me correctly and made it a point to avoid and forget some things. Proudly to keep from being embarrassed, never meant to upset or give grief to my parents. Kept my secrets, hidden my talents in my head, never under the mattress. Therapy couldn't break me, never learned a word that would ensure safety, so I spoke softly. And I tiptoed off, and the door to my room was like a big old coffin. The way that it creaked when I closed it shut, anxieties peaked when it opened up. As if everything that I was thinking would be exposed, I still sleep fully clothed. It was the best of times. It was beautiful, it was brutal, it was cruel. It was business as usual, heaven, it was hell. Used to wonder if I lived to see 12. When I did, I figured that I was immortal. Loved to dance, but couldn't make it to the formal. Couldn't bear watching my imaginary girlfriend bust a move with any other dudes. Tone look was talking about a wild thing, but I was still caught up in some child things. Scared of a god who couldn't spare the rod. It was clearly a brimstone and fire thing. Pyromaniac, kleptomaniac, couldn't explain my desire to steal that fire. Now I add it to my rider, like please, oh please, don't throw me in that patch of briar. It was the best of times. It was the end of times. The school counselor was clueless, cause I never skipped classes. Perfect attendance, imperfect accent, speech impediment they could never really fix. And I fake bad eyesight so I could wear glasses. Considered doing something that would cripple me. Wanted a wheelchair, wanted the sympathy, wanted straight teeth, so then came braces. 4 years of headgear helped me change faces. It was the best of times. It was the end of times. Now I wonder if I live to see marriage. Wonder if I live long enough to have kids. Wonder if I live to see my kids have kids. If I do, I'ma tell them how it is. But don't listen when they tell you that these are your best years. Don't let anyone protect your ears. It's best that you hear what they don't want you to hear. Better to have pressure from peers than not have fears. Bear won't give you chest hair. Spicy food won't make it curl. When you think you got it all figured out and then everything collapses,